This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did it start?
Hi, Karen.
Georgia, hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Thank you. Good.
Now, we've never met before. Is that correct?
Not in person. This whole podcast has been over the phone, right?
Yep.
But now you and I are legally married, so you can enter the country.
I'm so excited to not have to be Canadian anymore. It's such a disgusting place. Kidding.
But we have to fake our green card marriage to the authorities, too.
That's right.
So you're going to have to know a lot about me. Who's my third grade teacher?
You like... What did you say?
Who's my third grade teacher?
Oh, Mrs. Bacon?
Yes!
Sorry.
Go on.
Let's do more green card testing. I like it. That's a really funny thing. It's like if you're not a true friend unless you memorize someone else's green card information so that you could pass a green card test.
Would you green card marry someone?
Depends on the situation.
Yeah. If you're like, you're cool.
I did that already.
And you didn't even get anything out of it. You got some nice china.
I really think that china has gone untouched and can be negotiated for. Comes in a hutch, full set of gorgeous, totally untouched, yet probably slightly cursed wedding china. I think this time around I'm going to go for actually someone that I like and likes, who likes me back.
Yeah.
I think it'll be better.
I don't even think love needs to factor into it.
I think I could go for just high school crush style enjoyment of another person.
Yeah. Just, I feel like this is the mantra, stoked to be around. Like, you don't have to love them. You should be stoked to be around them.
I mean, what's the difference?
That's a good point. Valid.
I mean, that all works out in the end, right? You just kind of end up with somebody.
Yeah. That's how, yeah.
And try to remain stoked.
Yeah. And try to be your best stokeable person for them.
Make sure you increase your stokeability.
Yeah.
So you're not like resisting it.
Don't even increase it. Just like make sure your stokeability is like on an even plane at all times. Like not at all times. Cause you can, today I fucking lost my shit and cried and was like probably not the stokiest person in the world.
Yeah. I don't, who would want that all the time
to be around? Yeah. Plus I look so cute when I cry.
You really looked great when you answered the door. All mad.
My eyes get bright green.
Yeah. So do mine.
Yeah.
I look like, that one alien lady from Star Trek when I cry.
Oh.
Where it's like it legitimately scares people because my eyes turn red in one instant.
Yeah.
And I kind of look like Firestarter a little bit.
Also, you light fires because you just get so angry.
Can I tell you who I'm stoked on right now?
Please.
This is going to go into, I'm not sure if this is Celebrity Center or our new segment called Recommendations. Wait, do we call that anything before? When we talked about TV shows we like?
No, let's just call it Check This Shit.
Check This Shit. Ben Air Bam. The new HBO series, The Night Of, is so good.
So good.
And I am so intensely in love with Riz Ahmed, who's the lead guy.
How is he so cute?
It's because his eyes are unnaturally large.
Ugh.
And he uses them against you.
Yes.
Like, he is a trickster. Like,
yeah, but
he looks so innocent in this and sweet and like.
What was he in before this?
Sad. He was in Nightcrawler. He was the assistant in Nightcrawler. And he's been in, He's been in a bunch of stuff. He was like in the Centurion movie with Michael Fassbender.
Like shit, you're just like, oh yeah, that guy was in that. That one guy.
Yes.
Like,
well, he was he's often guy. Plays a Middle Eastern person. So it's that because he's Pakistani.
Right.
And so like he was in The Reluctant Fundamentalist, I believe it was called, with, Ray Donovan.
Mm.
You know, it's, and he's British. That's the most amazing part.
Is he British? Stop it. So it's one episode, and that was like, and it was like a pre-showing of it.
Yeah,
it
was
like
a sneak preview.
We don't even get the second episode. And what's
isn't
this?
It tonight? Someone told me it was tonight.
Someone told me that they're showing the actual first episode tonight.
So re-showing the one we've already seen.
Yeah, which is stupid. So maybe not.
I'll watch it.
Fuck, it's so good. It's about
like a play.
It's like a play. It's about a dude who basically finds, let's say he finds a body. Let's just say.
And why explain it?
And go watch it.
Yeah. Because once you get into it, see, like, when I saw the previews, I thought I knew what it was.
Right.
And then once I watched it, I was like, oh, this reminds me of the way The Wire felt.
It's a whodunit.
Yeah.
And it's like a whodunit with John Turturro. What more do you fucking need in your life?
But also, all those actors, like, that guy that played the one cop with the mustache at the station is from Angels in America. Like, there's all these Broadway and, like, very high level, but not like super commercially known actors in there. So it all feels really real.
It does feel, I like that. So the main cop, it's the procedural shit is interesting because the way they talk him into getting a DNA sample from him and then casually say, we also need to swab your dick, bro.
Yeah.
Was like, it seemed so realistic.
It's horrifying. It's just horrifying.
Yeah. And they're like, why do you need a lawyer? Casualty of it all.
Yeah. Let's not give too much away.
All right. Get into it.
You'll thank us later.
Get into it. Come back to us. Let us know what you think.
Also, keep your eye peeled for Riz Ahmed, who will be one of the stars of the next Star Wars movie.
Mm.
He's just an up and comer. He's a fresh young face. That will be mine.
Says Karen Kilgariff. Man, that's Karen Kilgariff's take. That's like the movie review on like Entertainment Tonight. And that's Karen Kilgariff's take.
That part's over. Right. Wait, didn't you have a recommendation?
I think that was it.
Wait, we had the same one?
No, yes, but we were also talking about Bloodline and how you said it. What were you saying about Florida?
I couldn't watch it I tried to like binge watch it, but I started getting high on Florida where I was feeling dizzy. It was all those like beautiful, slightly out of focus shots of the beach. And like when all the Christmas lights go, it looks like the beginning of the Focus Features title card. Mm-hmm. That's what that whole TV show's like.
It's also like, it's like 102 plus all the humidity.
Yes.
You know, and then what's her name? The sister.
Linda Cardellini.
Thank you. I knew you'd know that.
I'm a fan.
Like, her outfits for a lawyer are are you fucking kidding me?
Like, you mean like her very skimpy sundress in all
She wears
situations?
These skimpy as fuck shorts and these like platform, like Payless. And I'm not talking shit on Payless because I fucking wear the shit out of Payless shoes, but you can't go into a court of law dressed like that. You'd be held in contempt.
Girl, that's Florida.
Yeah, there. It's a lot. And her hair is always so perfect. I know I'm lady shaming right now.
Well, it's a TV show.
And so. Kevin is just the most realistic character in the whole show.
Is that the fuck up brother?
That's the fuck up brother.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we had one of those in my family.
Fuck up brothers?
Like, no matter what happened, when they were coming back into town, it was like, oh, everybody get ready.
That's why I'm scared to have kids. Like, what if you have the fuck up kid?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which... it's not one in four, every four people's a sociopath.
Let's do this. Is Corrections Corner.
It's Corrections Corner. Because I was about to say you had a one in four chance. I was about to repeat my same incorrect information. That's what I'm
all
like.
Right,
you don't
guys.
Correct me. And someone, I believe, off of memory, was named Clint Page on the Facebook page, who said, I don't want to be a correctee person, but it is not one in four. And then all these other people were like, it is... I think they were saying it's 25%.
Right. It's like Heyo. So next week, look for next week's correction corner where we correct what we're saying right now. There's one in four people are not psychopaths. It's like one in, it's not a percent. I don't know. It's not one in four.
It is not one in four. No, that's way too high. That's way too many.
Also, we got a really beautiful email just letting us know. So last week I did Kitty Genovese as my favorite murder. And
did
also
you say Kidney Genovese?
Kidney Genovese. No, because I was sad because I think she got stabbed in the kidney.
No.
So Karen, that's really
I didn't,
insensitive.
I miss her.
That she might have, it's probable that she was a lesbian.
Yeah, they talk about that in the Crime to Remember episode.
Right. And it's not, you know, this girl wrote a really beautiful email to us about how it's like, she's not trying to correct us and it, you know, it's not, it's just a part of it that's like not fair that she didn't get it to be represented and as how she was. And this girl who had to pretend to be her roommate, you know, actually had a huge loss of her partner.
Yeah.
And how sad that was. And, you know, now we're in a time when we can say that she was a lesbian and not be like somehow taint the tragedy of what happened.
Well, in that episode of Crime to Remember, they talk about their gay relationship as being also why people weren't calling the cops. Cause they said there were other gay people in that building that knew, like, you don't involve the cops no matter what.
Whoa.
That was part of the element. But when you were talking about it, because it was from the brother's perspective.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be like, well, and also this, because it's like, if it wasn't in the movie or if he didn't talk about it, maybe they didn't.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't finish it because my fucking computer wouldn't upload it. So that could be the whole second part of the goddamn shit.
Oh, okay.
Show.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Well, if everybody gets, I mean, that's awesome that somebody wrote in. If you get a chance, the Crime to Remember episode about it is really good too. They were the ones that thought that guy did not do it, that got caught.
Right. There was a neighbor. Yeah. We always close correction corner, which we've never done before, with saying, if you're getting your facts from here, like, look somewhere else, bro. Right?
We like to discuss concepts more than facts.
Yes.
And fantasies also.
Yes.
More than facts.
Like, there's a reason that this podcast is categorized as comedy. And
yeah,
not,
very, a pretty good reason.
Yeah.
It's not drama.
We're fucking hilarious.
It's not fact-based. We do our best, but there's so much talking that it's very easy to take.
Oh, hey, guess what I did?
What?
Guess what I did in a fit of fucking manic episode last night?
What?
I started an Instagram account.
Oh, nice. I saw you tweet that, right?
Yeah. And my favorite murder Instagram account.
And what are you putting on there? All our arts?
I think
and
all
crafts?
Yeah, all the arts and crafts and all the, like, I just love all the, like, the inspirational quotes of every episode that are made by Chez Amanda. She does an incredible job of just, like, finding the stupidest quotes we put and, like, making them into, like, these, like, great
truly
posters.
Inspirational looking posters. But it's things like, I hope we don't get stabbed.
Right.
Don't
be
a
fucking lunatic.
It's very good.
So there's a lot of art that people are making that I'm posting. And
wait, are you talking about the memes or are you talking about that girl that does like hand lettering?
Both.
Oh, okay.
I put them both up.
Got it.
So I'm just going to post. I'm going to post things and stuff related to the podcast.
That's good. We can also do pictures. Like, remember that time that I did that there was that terrible man. Oh, he was one of the, he was in the story about the babysitter killer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he had the craziest, scariest looking mugshot of all time.
Go to Instagram to see his photo.
Yeah. I think you're first this week.
Oh, okay.
right as you got perfectly comfortable.
I'm so comfortable just now.
I waited till you adjusted that pillow.
All right. So I didn't know that I have a hometown murder, but it took place 15 years after I moved away from my hometown.
Mm.
So is it technically my hometown?
Yeah, if that's where you're from.
So we got this really great email from this dude who was like, I've heard you mention you're from Irvine and that you worked in the Woodbridge Village Center at this place where I could have been killed. And we're in, like, I just want you to know we're redoing it. And if you come and like visit it, I'll take you to the parking garage where Christopher Dorner's killing spree started.
Whoa.
And he's like, which I'm sure you know about. And I was like, wait, what? Do you know about this?
I know about Christopher Dorner. Yeah.
So I do too, but, and this happened in 2013, which is like not that long ago, which seems like, it seems like so much longer ago. And I didn't realize it started in Irvine.
I didn't either.
Yeah. So in February 2013, Christopher Dorner, who was 33, started his killing spree that lasted, I think, 2 days, a couple days, a few days, like a week. What is life? So he grew up in Southern California. He was a former United States Navy Reserve officer. He was deployed to Bahrain. He was discharged from the Navy in 2013.
I think it's Bahrain.
Bahrain. Fuck.
That's a guess, though. I could, like, also be wrong.
As I was saying it, I was like, I'm not going to be like a Fox News correspondent who says everything wrong. And so I, like, said it wrong.
Sorry.
No, don't sorry. Me sorry.
Okay.
So after his tour in Iraq, it's Iraq, right? Or is it Iraq?
I pulled that A out way longer.
Iraq.
Iraq.
Iraq. He goes to Los Angeles. He goes back to the police department in 2007. He's paired with a training officer named Teresa Evans to complete his probationary training. In 2008, he files a report against her.
Oh.
That she used excessive force in her treatment of a suspect who was a schizophrenic with severe dementia. And he says that Evans, twice kicked this suspect in the face while he was handcuffed and lying on the ground.
Oh, no.
Sound effects by my fucking psychotic child neighbor. Do you hear that?
Yep.
Out of his mind. Screams all the time.
And laughing. Loud laughing from a child is upsetting.
I think he's crazy. Like, I feel bad for them, I think.
Yeah, he sounds pretty insane.
So after he files this report, Dorner gets fired from the LAPD in 2008 for making false statements.
Uh-oh.
They were like, you're fucking lying, basically. And his attorney at the hearing is Randall Kwan, Q-U-A-N. And he's like defending Dorner, saying that he was treated unfairly and he's being made a scapegoat. Basically, you know, saying the police department didn't want to admit that she used excessive force, so they fired him instead.
Wow. Because you're not allowed to rat out your fellow officer.
That's what it seems like Dorner assumed. So he tries to get his job back, but the LAPD's Board of Rights rejected his appeal. He took his case to court with Randall Kwan as his attorney, and a judge ruled against it in October 2011. Mm. So Dorner's like basically snaps at this point. So the murders start, weirdly enough, with the murder of this Randall Kwan's daughter and her fiance in Irvine in a parking structure, which I was just looking up, and I'm pretty sure it's where my dad's apartment was.
No.
Yeah. Which is across.
Like, they lived in the same place?
Yeah, I think so. So I think it happened across the street from where I grew up.
Wow.
Where my dad lived. Cause I don't even know. So February 3rd, 2013, he just fucking goes up to them. They're in their car in a parking garage and shoots them. And, like, I remember that coming out in the news and finding out who the father was and being like, oh shit, this is like, you could tell it was a revenge killing immediately. And it's just such a fucking huge bummer that this girl and her 27-year-old fiance, named Keith Lawrence, just got shot to death because this guy went crazy. So immediately you have no sympathy for this dude.
So this is his public defender that he basically, or maybe not public defender, but this is his lawyer for that case.
Yeah.
Who they lost the case and he didn't get his job back. Yeah. And so he went and killed that lawyer's daughter and fiance.
And he had this crazy manifesto basically saying, that he didn't fight hard enough. He says, your lack of ethics and conspiring to wrong a just individual are over. Suppressing the truth will lead to deadly consequences for you and your family. There will be an element of surprise where you work, live, eat, and sleep.
Mm.
Look, look your wives slash husbands and surviving children directly in the face and tell them the truth as to why your children are dead.
Because you killed them?
Just, I mean, and the don't kill the judge, not the fucking lawyer's family. I'm sorry, right?
Someone's gonna. We don't have to pick.
Okay, you're right. You know what? Don't kill anyone. A.
Yeah, I think B. That's the option.
All right, great.
Kill the judge.
I'm gonna get hate. Send messages.
Look,
to Karen,
you were just
Kilgara.
Trying to solve the problem, which would be don't kill the family.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. So Monica Kwan and Keith Lawrence fucking shot to death. So he has this crazy manifesto. He wants to seek revenge. And he just like writes this insane, I will bring unconventional and asymmetrical warfare to those in the LAPD uniform, whether on or off duty. Like this motherfucker is like,
he's on one.
He's targeting a large group of people rather than, you know, individuals, which is terrifying. He says he was terminated after he reported excess force. And his attacks are retribution for his termination, as well as cultural racism and violence that continues within the department. So while search, so suddenly this huge manhunt is on for Dorner. Police suddenly just start shooting people.
Yes.
Cause they're freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
So there's a truck that the cops thought was his truck. They shot the shit out of it.
Yeah, those were the two women delivering the newspaper.
Yeah.
And they just started shooting a truck.
Yeah, and if there's photos online of, like, how many fucking shots are in this truck. They also shot another pickup truck matching this description of, like, a dude who was, like, on his way to go surfing in fucking Orange County. Or, like...
And they shot it up?
They shot the shit out of this truck. Everyone lived, but they also sued the shit out of, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm pissed about that, but I'm also like, how terrifying. I mean, which is better?
Well, I mean, this is the crux of everything that's happening right now.
But yeah, it's
like,
scary.
It is a high pressure job. It is a scary job. And it's the kind of job where you have to be able to handle yourself with a gun.
Right.
So if you think that, basically, you can't start shooting vehicles because you think your suspect is inside.
No.
That's not the way you're allowed to apprehend people.
And the other thing, too, is like, as a police officer, there's an amount of danger involved with your job that you sign up for.
Yeah.
So you approaching the vehicle and IDing the suspect and possibly getting killed by doing that is what's supposed to happen, not the possibility of civilians getting killed. Right?
Yes. And I mean, and that's why there's procedure so that when you approach that vehicle, you're calling in, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, did they yell, put your hands outside of the vehicle? And those two women, they didn't get close enough to see it was two women. They didn't get close enough to see that they didn't speak English. I don't know what the problem was. I don't know the details about it, but like, it doesn't make sense that you just.
It was also Dorner was a large black man and they shot up two women and like a white guy who was a surfer.
Yeah.
So like clearly
Panic.
they weren't doing enough research into this. Blah, blah, blah. So.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
They find his truck abandoned and burning near Big Bear. And I remember this. At this point, I was like, fuck, thank God he's not in Los Angeles. Like, I totally didn't leave the house.
Yep.
And then two of Riverside's officers were shot in an ambush. One died. The other one was taken to the hospital. And then they believe he just drove up to the vehicle at a stoplight and fired with a rifle at these two dudes. 34-year-old Michael Crane, who was on the fucking Riverside force for 11 years, died. They searched at least 400 homes in the area. Terrifying. Do you think they found anything in certain people's houses? They were like, we'll be back for this.
Yeah. Your like, weird sex swing in the corner.
This meth lab, we'll be back for this.
Oh, yeah.
Right now?
Today's your lucky day.
Yeah.
It felt like.
We're watching
But
you.
We'll be back. Tomorrow will be your unlucky day.
Right. So the manhunt enters its second week. So it was 2 weeks. And then Karen and James Reynolds are cleaning out their Big Bear cabin that they owned and rented out not far from the command center when they were confronted by Dorner, who had been living there for a couple days.
Oh, so he broke into their empty Big Bear cabin.
Yeah, I also want to talk to Karen and James about why they're cleaning out their cabin at a time when there's a massive manhunt for like...
Oh, that's not going to affect us. We'll just go up there and grab that wood bear toilet paper dispenser.
You know, my Aunt Susie is coming up for the weekend, and you know how she gets about dust bunnies. Why are they Southern?
It's fun. That's how people know we've gone into a scenelet, which is our newest segment, scenelets. Scenelets.
So Karen and James, but they're kind of badasses because they were tied up in blindfolded. He took the keys to their maroon Nissan Rouge. Didn't know that was a car.
Well, I don't think it is anymore.
It probably isn't because of this.
Discontinued.
But he kind of was like, he said to them, like, I don't want to kill you fuckers. Like, he wasn't trying to kill civilians, except for the lawyers. I think he thought, like...
No, he had his kill lists. He wasn't just going berserk.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't want to kill this dude. This couple, he just had, you know, he could have shot them and like taken whatever he wanted and lived there. He could have shot them and stayed there and he didn't.
Right.
Not defending him. Just saying.
Yeah.
So they used their teeth and a knife. They knocked off a nearby table to remove the pillowcases from their heads and zip ties from their wrists and then called 911.
Oh,
fuck,
shit.
Dude.
Karen. And who? What's her husband's name? Richard?
Georgia.
That does. We're the heroes.
Karen and James Reynolds. who escapes zip ties on the reg?
It's Ryan Reynolds' parents. That's why they're so awesome.
Right. So, let's see here. Okay. They spotted him driving.
Wait, sorry. This was in... What season is it? Is there snow up there? Oh, was this summertime?
This is December, right? What did I say?
Sorry.
October? Karen,
I'm really sorry. I'm trying to paint a mental picture in my mind.
Your quizzes every week. You quiz me on that.
Now, what season was it?
And what was he wearing underneath his coat? So this started in February. So
there was probably snow.
Mid-ish February. Yes, it was probably cold.
Okay.
Why?
Because I love Big Bear. It's fun. Have you ever gone like inner tubing up there?
No, but I need to.
The best.
You mean like when you like hang out in an inner tube and drink beer and wander around the... Or like when
well, that would be on a river.
Okay.
Is what you're thinking of, right? That's summertime. Okay. But in the wintertime in Big Bear, they have mountains just off the side of the road and you can rent inner tubes.
Yes.
And then you go up a little like cloth escalator up the side of the snowy mountain, get up on the top. There's like a teen there with a whistle or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you just go down and it is the most fun.
If you're following our Instagram account, you will see a photo of me at 5 years old in an inner tube in Big Bear.
Yes, going down the snowy hill.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
My dad lived in Lake Arrowhead for a hot minute. Do you have a photo? Let's post our fucking tubing photos. Let's give the people what they want.
Instagram inner tubing photos.
Murder and tubing.
I might just put up a picture, just a picture of an inner tube, and just a celebration of inner tubes because they really summer, winter, fall. What a great vehicle for fun.
Tubes.
The inner tube.
Tubes. Tube.
Tubes.
Tubing.
Sorry.
No, don't never be. Oh, wait. Where was I?
Karen and Richard have just escaped from the clutches of...
Oh, my God. Then they find a purple car. Because how many purple Nissans are there on the roads? Probably not a lot.
Purple Nissan Rouge.
I feel like that was his... Besides killing people, his biggest mistake.
Yeah, don't get into a purple car.
Don't get into a purple car.
What are you, fucking Guy Fieri? Get out of that car. Don't, this is not the time to floss.
Yeah, this is not the time to be quirky in your car. Escapism means a beige or white car.
That's exactly right.
Right?
How about a nice gold Corolla? No one will ever look at you.
Gold?
That's a little flashy. Well, not like bright gold, but you know, like a kind of
muted. A muted gold. A bronze.
Muted tones. A bronze.
But you know what? A light blue. The car I drive, so boring.
Yes, that's right. Light blue.
I hate it.
It's...
I want a car that, like, I walk into a parking garage, such as the one that these poor people got killed in.
Yes.
And I'm gonna be like, that's my orange car over there.
You do want that?
Yes.
You do want an orange car?
Yes.
Okay.
I really want an orange car.
What... Can you give me an example of an orange car?
There's a lot of Honda Fits that are orange.
Oh, yes.
Right?
It's would you say it's a little more copper than, like, say, a clown?
It's a burnt orange.
Great.
And I love it.
That's what I'm looking for, is not clown orange.
Good.
Okay.
Can I go on?
Nope. Also, how do you feel about dark blue?
Electric blue, I'm cool with.
Okay, cool, cool, dark cool, blue. Cool, 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 cool,
cool, cool, cool,
cool, cool,
cool, cool, cool, cool, cool. Elvis, you cool?
Oh, cool.
Okay. Let's see. They spot his car. He's tailing two school buses for cover. So a purple car is tailing two school buses.
Mean like to hide behind them?
Yeah, like to just be like, I'm inconspicuous.
Oh, yeah, no.
Don't do that.
Mm-mm.
Gun battle ensues. He crashes and he runs and quickly carjacks a pickup truck. Again, saying to the dude, I don't want to kill you. Get the fuck out of the car. Like, not going to kill innocent civilian.
Nice.
Or like, not innocent, but
involved.
Involved civilians. Goes to a cab.
Why do you say not innocent? Are you just worried that maybe
I'm not saying the truck driver was a douche. I'm just saying that those people are innocent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The people
they're
that
like
killed,
not involved.
Yeah, but they're not involved. So I don't say they're not innocent. They're innocent too.
Got it.
This dude Collins shows up at the Big Bear cabin where he's at. The first there, want to know where he gets shot?
Wait. Who's Collins?
Collins is this cop. This San Bernardino police officer deputy who gets to the cabin where Doran has run into after he crashes his pickup truck.
Okay, got it.
He makes his final stand here. We're coming to a close. Don't worry, people who aren't into killing sprees, which I understand. Gun drawn. He gets from the cabin. He's shot, but he lives, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Beneath his left nostril.
Oh.
Shattered his teeth and exits slightly below his jaw.
This is the Collins, the new guy or
Collins dude.
Oh, shit.
Who made a joke later that he looks better now than he did before.
Oh.
Like, he's a sweet baby angel.
God bless him.
I mean, and he survived.
I wouldn't hate getting my teeth shattered out and brand new ones. I'll just say that.
Karen.
I'm just saying. There's always a positive.
No.
Mm-hmm. I'd like him kicked out.
Just kidding. So you're going to come with me to a P.O. box or what?
That's how we'll do it. All of our dreams are going to come true.
Oh my!
I'll keep you from getting killed by putting my teeth in front of whatever the weapon is.
She threw her teeth in front of the bullet.
She gave up those upward slanty Irish teeth as if they were nothing.
Your teeth are fine.
Mm-mm.
Says the girl with Invisalign.
Invisalign.
That sounds like a Madeline book.
Yes.
All right. Shot again. Fucking Collins shot again below his left knee. That's got to hurt. And in his left arm.
In his face and knee and arm.
Which this guy, Dorner, was a sharpshooter from the Navy.
Oh,
so
no.
Maybe he didn't. I mean, you get shot in the fucking face. You're trying to kill someone.
You're trying to kill someone. That's a headshot.
That's a headshot.
You can't really talk your way out of that.
No.
Also, you made that list of people you were going to kill.
Yeah.
In
and
the manifesto.
This poor, like, this guy, like, lives in San Bernardino, probably with, like, his sweet kids and, like, wife, whatever, ex-wife, I don't know.
And now he's okay to the point where he can make jokes about it.
That's what it seems. That's what the news says.
Great.
What the news.
That's all I need to know.
Okay. Yes. So, yes.
Good.
So, police toss smoke devices into the cabin. Cabin catches fire and burn for hours.
And he was inside?
Yeah. The sheriff, they said they found charred human remains among the ashes. So do we even know if it's his body? And also people said that he had a gunshot in his head, but we don't know that. I don't know if that's...
So he killed himself and then the cabin burned down?
No, I think he probably was dying from smoke and then, I don't know.
And then shot himself?
You know, I stopped investigating at this point. Karen,
sorry. Well, I just remember the story.
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, they had him surrounded for a while. Then it was like, we're going in.
And
then it was like, he's dead. It's over.
I was watching this shit probably at a bar.
Yes.
You know, like this was a big news story here in LA.
It really was.
I think LA, we hate our car. What are they called? Car chases.
Carjackers?
No, we as people who live in LA for a long time are sick of the news being like car chases. They're fucking egregious and stupid and obnoxious. I only saw one recently that ended amazingly where this woman is like making all these crazy. No. This person is making all these crazy turns. I just gave it away.
Yeah.
And she like finally stops, gets out of her car, hands up. It's a woman. Everyone in the public house that I'm in cheer because they're stoked that it's a chick. And she starts walking towards him with her hands up, then fucking makes a bolting beeline to the cop car to steal the cop car and go away.
No way.
Everyone in the bar like is fucking cheering for her and she gets caught. But it was like the sweetest move.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
What drugs do you think she was on?
All of them.
Okay.
Yeah. At least, what's the one they always told you not to do? Because
angel dust?
Yep.
Yeah. That's the one where you lift the cop car over your head.
How about our Periscope, or what's it called? Our,
Instagram?
No, the one you make money off of.
On social media?
The,
PayPal.
No. Anyways.
Patreon.
Thank you, Steven. How about Patreon? We do angel dust and just see what happens. It's just a video of us doing angel dust.
Yep.
Like,
yes.
Kids, here's what happens.
I'm putting this on the to-do list. We're going to get dusted.
All right.
And
I'm finishing this up. I'm so sorry. But here's the crazy thing is the police, Los Angeles police announced the department reopened the investigation into his case that led to his termination after he was dead.
What?
And Chief Beck said, I do not appease a murderer. I do it to reassure the public that their police department is transparent and fair in all things we do.
Wow.
I know.
When that happened recently?
This happened on Google.
Why have I asked you one question? I feel very bad.
Should I be embarrassed?
No, not at all. I just meant like, was it a,
I know what you mean.
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
It seems like every day we spend, every other police department in the world looks terrible.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, LAPD doesn't seem so bad.
They really don't.
These days
they don't.
If you watch The Simpsons 30 by 30, They don't look so good.
They don't. And that's why I feel like they're trying to be like, sorry about that one.
But I mean, something like that where it would be worst case scenario if it was like, what if he was right the whole time?
Yeah.
That's nightmarish.
Well, some people get fired and don't go fucking nuts. But guess what? They don't get talked about on My Favorite Murder, do they?
That's right. Well, also, the fact that there's a probably at least a 50-50 chance he had PTSD from being...
Absolutely. You know, like from being in Bahrain. Where is it?
Bahrain?
Bahrain. He probably had PTSD. His neighbors said that he was a member of an admired, well-liked family who usually kept to themselves. That's always a bad sign. Don't keep to yourselves, you guys.
Put it out there on the porch.
He was divorced in 2007, no kids. So he probably lost his mind. And then you lose this job that you've been working towards since high school when you went into the Navy.
Yeah, that's probably your identity.
Yeah.
It's like what...
And he was probably correct in her using excessive force.
And he was probably correct in the internal racism, which we all know is a very real fact that all police departments aren't allowed to acknowledge.
Like, this guy would have gotten his day of celebrating if he just had not gone on a killing spree. Like, I feel like by now he would have been like,
exonerated. You know what? Well, I wonder. That'd be really interesting to know if... Like, if it goes back that, if it reverses itself. But the problem is, like, he was one of those people where he couldn't handle the shame.
Oh,
like, he was basically publicly shamed and had his identity taken away. And then it's like, there are people who, if you do that to them, they have to retaliate.
Yeah.
And like, they can't sit with it.
He reported this crime in 2008. It happened in 2007. He got a divorce in 2007.
Ugh.
So it's just like, he's in a world of pain.
Yeah.
So I of course went to Reddit because I'm like, what do they have to say? It's always something good. So Doc Gray 187000, as I read that, I'm like, he might be not 187. He says his manifesto sounded so plausible. I don't want people killed. Or otherwise, but it is understood that sometimes humans have to kill humans, isn't it? Cops carry guns, soldiers carry guns. The only question is justification, right? So if the government and their guard dogs are thoroughly corrupt, as Donner asserted, and use unnecessarily deadly force, have callous disregard for human life, and are in a mutual protection agreement with prosecutors, what are good people supposed to do?
Yeah.
And he says, do you know how Dorner was caught? He carjacked a dude on a secluded road and told him, I don't want to hurt you, and then let him go. And that dude turned him in. He also commandeered that cabin, but let the residents live. Contrast with the innocent civilians the LAPD hurt in their quest to get Dorner and his gruesome death. Who am I supposed to root for?
Well, it's not a binary thing.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't root for anybody, because here's the thing. Those cops didn't want to kill anybody, but they were reacting. They are the ones being hunted.
And maybe they weren't trained well enough to know what to do in a situation like that.
It immediately just makes me go, the night that they investigated the JonBenet murder, they sent the two newest cops over because it was Christmas.
Yeah.
It's and that kind of thing.
Before we get hate mail, I want to assure everyone that I don't hate cops. I think they're fucking... I think the majority are working their asses off to be good people and have, you know, the best interest of... And it's a hard job and you're putting your life on the line. You just only hear about the bad ones.
Well, but the problem is, I heard a DJ talking about this. I tweeted about it. A DJ. He was just saying there's never any... They just never cop to anything. And you can't do that when you're shooting people dead in cars. When you have people who are shooting people in the back or strangling them on video, you can't continually be like, they're innocent.
Right,
they're innocent. That's
right.
When you're built. If you're never being a stand up, you know, and never, you know, these are obviously
getting, if you're not getting punished by the higher ups and saying that they did this thing wrong,
that means that there's no accounting for the behavior
and it's acceptable.
Yeah. That's the huge fucking problem. And if it's the same people, but getting targeted all the time, I mean, this snares you right into the Christopher Dorner story, snares you into everything that's happening right now.
I know.
In our culture.
I know.
Yeah. That'd be horrifying. if he was completely innocent and then just basically snapped.
Yeah.
As opposed to the story that was built in the media is kind of like, oh, here's this crazy guy that like tried to lie about somebody else. And, you know, they had him like vilified from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I just touched probably a ton of nerves of listeners, so go to my P.O. box and let me know what you think.
I feel like people listen to this to get nerves touched. I mean, that's the whole idea.
By the way, I also checked out my P.O. box number.
Yeah, if you can't live with it, why do it?
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'd rather not have presents from listeners.
I think it's fine.
So, yeah, that's my favorite murder, this Irvine.
Irvine.
Karen. How was that? Was that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Your mine turn. Happened in the same year.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of similarities, which is super weird.
Interesting.
And this is a murder story that I had two different, separate, non-people that don't know each other, friends of mine, ask if I had done the story yet.
Ooh.
It's the Cheshire murder.
Ooh.
You've probably seen a 2020 or a Nightline about it. It was super famous. It happened around the same time as the Oklahoma bombings, but it was more talked about in the news more consistently because it was that really infamous Connecticut home invasion story. That's a nightmare.
Home invasion?
From start to finish.
It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. And also, it's just, this is just sinister and creepy because Cheshire, Connecticut. So there's a documentary on HBO called The Cheshire Murders. I highly recommend. I watched that this morning and, it will tell you the entire story, but it's very hard because it's all the relatives. So it's just like everybody right there on camera talking about how it feels. And it's incredibly rough because this is a, you know, this is a multiple rape murder situation on a family who live in one of those towns where when they show all the shots, it's like all the A-frame houses mm-hmm. with the lawns. There's no fences between mm-hmm. any of the yards. And the area these people lived in was pretty upscale. So basically what happened is on the night of July 22nd, at 7:30 at night, Jennifer Hawk Pettit went to the Stop and Shop with her 11-year-old daughter, Michaela, and they're just shopping for groceries, and they're spotted by a recent parolee named Joshua Komisarewski, is basically how you pronounce that last name. They said it in this documentary probably 30 times.
Right.
And every time I'd say it along with them or repeat it after I heard it, and I still... It's Komisarewski.
Okay.
Or Komisarewski. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So this guy's watching them in the grocery store. I might as well just get to this part now. A very upsetting part in this documentary is this guy who is in his like mid to late 20s. I want to say 27, but I can't see it on my paper, but he had a girlfriend like in the years prior, and the father of that girl that this guy dated talks on camera about how they said that they thought they wanted to get married. And the father said, I have two problems with that. You're a career criminal and you're a pedophile. And he's like, and my daughter looks and acts a lot younger than she is. And so this girl who is the same age as him is on camera, and she completely, if you said she's 16 or 15, you'd be like, sure. And she was like in her mid 20s.
Holy shit.
So it's, there was some part that got confusing where it was like he also tried to date her younger sister, and it was a thing. Mm-hmm. So this guy, and of course it turns out that later in the documentary, it turns out that he was molested as a child, very young, terribly, and for most of his life. So he was adopted. This father that they show a couple pictures of is one of the most disturbing looking individuals, like always right behind him, kind of creepy.
Oh my, how did I not see this documentary?
It's pretty good. I mean, the thing is, by the time you get to the part where they're talking about what life was like for these two dudes that did this home invasion, you're like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. These are monsters.
I don't care.
Because that happens to a lot of people. Not a lot, hopefully, but... And they don't become monsters.
Exactly. The only thing, though, is it is interesting because when something like this happens, over and over, people go... Who could do this? How do you do something like, I don't understand. How could you do this? How could you do this? And most people just go from that question to kill them. Just kill them. Don't, why even give them a trial? It's that mentality, mm-hmm. which we all, cause it's so hard to comprehend.
It's just like this compounded abuse that's just generations long, probably, because the guy who abused them was abused too. And
I mean, it's bad.
All right.
But it's interesting.
Sorry.
No. Cause that's a thing with pedophiles is that oftentimes that's where it's coming from, is it happened to them. But it's just, it puts a very strange light on an already very upsetting case. So, they go home from this grocery store. The mom and daughter go home. This guy follows them home and goes and sees where they live. he was living in a halfway house, or he had just gotten out of a halfway house. He was just paroled. And so was his friend, Stephen Hayes, who is considerably older and also has a very long, both of them have crazy long criminal records. Mm-hmm. Both are, like burglars or whatever. This guy, and when they talked about Josh Komisarewski, they actually say he had a photographic memory. He was incredibly intelligent. He was an incredibly talented, artist. And they start showing these illustrations that he did, and they look somewhat, they reminded me immediately of the pictures, in Silence of the Lambs, mm-hmm. when Dr. Lecter has those hand-drawn pictures of like, Italy, you know, that he's basically drawn his own pictures. So he,
holy
from memory,
shit.
It's the exact same thing where this guy has these illustrations that are like so insanely detailed and beautiful and amazing. And he had, you know, so he's a smart person, but a very cunning and very sociopathic. And so was the other guy, Stephen Hayes. Two of his brothers in this documentary talking about him how he was a monster from their childhood. It was like burning their hands on stoves, like nightmare older brother shit that they had to live with. So of course, in the end of this, when these two guys get caught, they tell the exact opposite stories of it was this guy's idea. Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting because one guy looks like something out of a movie of a bad guy. And the other guy looks like a young pot dealer that would live in San Diego. But the truth of it is they think that it's the young guy that was the mastermind behind it all.
The artist, the smarter guy?
Yeah.
Sure.
So anyway, those two meet up at a bar and they talk about their plan and how they're going to go rob this house. And at 3 a.m., they go up to the house. And when they walk up, they see that Dr. William Pettit is sleeping on the screened-in porch on the front. And so Josh goes and grabs a baseball bat from the front lawn that they passed on their way in, takes it, and starts beating this guy in the head.
How do you go to a house at 3 in the morning? Like, you're just asking for... Go in the middle of the day when no one's home. You want to find people there.
No, they wanted this, the Josh guy, part of his thing was they said when he would go and burgle houses, he would go in different rooms. He would pick places like, it would be like a state trooper's house that he would be burgling. God. And he would, after he stole all the things he wanted to steal, he would stand and listen to people breathing.
Holy shit.
Uh-huh. And then also the guy that was talking about him, I think it was probably one of his old defense lawyers, said that he could remember every single thing he stole, where it was, where the, like, item, if he took a wallet out of a pair of pants, it was hanging on the back of the chair. Like, he had a photographic memory.
Weird.
Yes. So that part of the joy of it was the fact that he knew that family was home.
Yeah.
At least they know that that was his pattern in the past.
Okay.
So they beat the father in the head, tie him up and put him down in the basement and tie his wrists and ankles to a pole in the basement. His head is split down the front and then there's like three huge gashes in the back of his head.
Oh, honey.
So he's down in the basement. They have him shut down there. Then they tie up the mother and both daughters in each of their respective rooms, tie them hands and feet to the bed, put pillowcases over their head, and shut the doors of all those rooms. Then they ransack the whole house. And by the time they're done looking through everything, they're not happy with their haul. They didn't get enough. And they find a Bank of America bank book and they see that the amount in the bank is like over 15 grand or it's a bunch. And so they're like, here's what we're going to do. When it's 9 a.m. and that bank opens, you're going in there, you're taking out $15,000 and you're bringing it back here to us. And then we will leave you alone.
Oh.
So, at 9 a.m., this woman goes into her bank, goes up to the teller, says, I'd like to withdraw $15,000. And as they're doing their business, she says, I'm doing this against my will. People broke into our house last night. The guy drove me here. He's in the parking lot outside right now. He has my family back at the house. Like, his partner has the family back at the house. She actually was quoted, the teller said that she said, they're mostly nice. I think they just need this money. And she's like, but you need to tell the police because, you know, I was told to come in here and not say anything. Oh my and God. So like, hey, please handle this. And so the teller, there's a woman in this documentary who was in the bank when all this happened. And she said she saw the bank manager run from the teller's little depot into her office and shut the door and start making the phone call. So it happened like immediately. Mm-hmm. And then Jennifer Pettit got her money and left the bank. So she didn't wait around or anything because she was probably on like a time limit or something.
Shit.
So Stephen Hayes is in the car waiting for her outside.
The other guy's back at home.
The other guy's back at home. So they find a video footage, gas station video surveillance that Hayes had bought $10 worth of gas from two gas cans that he'd gotten from the Pettit home before they went to the bank.
Mm.
So they know it's premeditated murder.
Mm.
So when they
get
back, does
she know that? Oh my God! Does she know they have gas? Extra gas?
I don't know. Okay. No, because she's tied up in the room. So I think they're doing all that business themselves. So this is where the stories split because Josh has one story and Stephen has the other. But Stephen's story is he gets back from the bank with Mrs. Pettit and he thinks they're going to take this money. He's picking him up and they're leaving. When he walks in, Josh says, I have left DNA in one of the children. We have to burn this house down. We have to kill them and burn this house down.
Holy shit.
And that's when Steven's like, I was not in this. That in, according to him, he was like, this is crazy. Then he looks outside and sees that from the moment that bank teller got on the phone with 911, like it was minutes later, they say like 3 to 5 minutes later, cops were outside of this house. So they look outside. Steven sees that there's cops outside, which, you know, she had promised him he would not call the cops. And he goes crazy. He starts strangling her, the mom.
Oh, no, I don't like this.
It's bad. He strangles her, rapes her after he strangles her.
Oh,
my fucking God.
Okay, it's like a week away. It's like a week away from 4th of July. 4th of July passed a week ago. My fucking neighbors are still... This has been happening all week. They've been letting off fucking fireworks. But that was the worst time that could have happened.
That was so loud.
And I saw a fucking... I saw the spark.
I did too. And there was like a big flash. Wow.
My heart.
Do you want to shut that since now there's... Wow.
Fuck's sake. We're trying to live our lives,
fucking
asshole.
We're trying to talk about murder.
What the
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. So, okay.
I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah.
that's like, so many people have their headphones in right now and got so freaked out when that happened.
I wonder.
So
yeah. Pissed. Cause it was, that was crazy loud.
And we both, we all freaked out.
You know what? That was like our podcast version of, you know, in a movie when suddenly a car gets side, fucking T-boned.
Or they close the,
the
medicine cabinet and there's someone standing behind.
We just, it was like, we like put that into our own scary, scary podcast that was scary enough as it was.
Sucked.
Guys, don't be mad at us cause we're as upset as you are.
We are.
If not more, now here come the cops. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, so Stephen Hayes has just strangled and raped the mother. So it turns out while they were at the bank, Josh had gone upstairs and raped the 11-year-old.
The one who he thought looked like his ex-girlfriend?
Yes.
But
she was 11. There was a 17-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
That nobody went into her room ever after. So it's super crazy. And when you hear his confession on tape, it's super disgusting because he is using so many euphemisms and kind of trying to talk like they chatted and they were talking about school and I brought her a glass of water. Like it's all very sweet, borderline romantic in his mind. It's super gross. So then they pour gas over both girls.
No, still alive. No.
And then throughout the entire house, light the house on fire and then run out the front door, get into the Pettit's car, drive one block away, get pulled over and arrested. So the entire time now in the aftermath, when they made announcements, the mayor or the city, you know, councilman or whoever were like, and we'd like to thank the police and fire did a great job and all this stuff. Well, it turned out from when they finally, because they had like kind of redacted all of this information, there was a gag order on the whole story. They like the press couldn't report on it on any details. They didn't know any details about it. And then they finally get like the phone reports and the 911 calls and everything. And they had a perimeter. They were setting up a perimeter 5 minutes after the 911 call came in from the bank. And, they were all just sitting outside in that perimeter. No one had called on the phone. No one had knocked on the door. No one had even approached the house in any way. They heard Mrs. Pettit screaming and nobody went up. They, the house caught on fire and they still didn't do anything.
Oh.
So basically in the amount of time between when they went to the bank and came back is when all of the major crimes happened and the police were just sitting outside, not taking action, which, you know, this is a town that was like 25,000 people.
Jeez,
so again,
tiny.
And there were some people that argued that this is a small town, but this is a small town in terms of police handling major crimes.
Right.
So they had basically no idea what to do and just set up a perimeter and waited and didn't do anything. So that, like, those.
God damn it.
Should I scream? That sounded like an actual firework.
Yeah. No, you could. I just saw like Disneyland thing out there.
Yeah, except this is fucking Los Feliz, not fucking Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh. And fireworks are illegal in LA also, County.
And in addition,
and
it's been happening pretty much every night since 4th of July.
I mean, isn't it like July 10th now?
It's like July 10th right now.
It's 6 days later. Guys, anyway, to wrap it up, when Dr. Pettit escaped the basement, it was basically right around the same time as the house was lit on fire. He was like, smelled the smoke and whatever. And so he, with his, I'm looking at fireworks over your shoulder.
I'm fucking moving.
So Dr. Pettit runs up the back stairs. His feet are still bound. He's like hopping with a bloody face across to his neighbor's. And there's like a little forest in between his house and the neighbor's house. And he sees the cops hiding behind trees and is screaming, help my family, save my family, as he's running over to the neighbor's house. And they're just keeping their positions.
Oh my God.
So all of that part, they like effectively swept that part under the rug. And the family kept asking questions, and like, it was like, if there's a gag order, we can't tell you anything. And it wasn't until the case happened that they found out all this horrible shit of all the really hideous details of what happened. Oh, and then they also, Joshua's diary was, put into evidence. And, basically after they got arrested, they both turned on each other, said it was the other person's idea. And it's really hard to pull apart, because even in this documentary, like, you can see how Josh could be the mastermind, but you could also see how Stephen Hayes could just, I mean, this idea, like, when his lawyer was trying to tell that story of like, oh, he saw the cops and that he felt very betrayed and that's why he strangled and raped Mrs. Pettit. It's like, I don't think so.
No, people don't strangle and rape people when they feel betrayed as a whole.
I mean, they say it's like explosive anger reaction or whatever, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like they probably were planning on doing that anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're convicted of the murders and they're sentenced to death, in 2010. Well, that was Stephen Hayes was convicted in 2010. Joshua Komisarewski, was convicted in 2011 and sentenced to death in 2012. And in August 2015, the state of Connecticut abolished the death penalty. Mm-hmm. So now Hayes and, Komisarewski had both of their death sentences commuted, and now they're serving life sentences.
What do you think? Who do you think was the mastermind?
You know, it seems to me that it's the younger guy. It seems to me that it's the Joshua Komisarewski guy.
Because he's the one who raped the 11-year-old.
Yep. He's the one that had this kind of plan.
Yeah.
And I think he's the one that, like, the other guy was a burglar and kind of on drugs and stuff. I think that guy was a career criminal in that way. But I think Joshua had some really, really deep, serious emotional problems.
Well, when you think of like, hey, when you think of someone saying, hey, I found this house that's perfect for us to break into, like, one of them knows who's in that house and what's going on.
Yes.
The other one might not. And so it seems that he had an ulterior motive.
For sure.
And the other guy didn't at first.
Right. He just wanted to make some easy money like just thought it was like they're out of jail. They're out of a halfway house. They need jobs. You can't get a job as an ex-con very easily.
Yeah.
You know, they're just trying to get back to it. And also, that guy Joshua was kicked out of the army, which is always a bad sign. They didn't go into any of the details of that though. Anyway, the Cheshire Murders, it's an old HBO documentary. So I found it on HBO Now or Go or something on my Apple TV. But it's really interesting and really, it just fucked with everyone. It's considered the worst crime in Connecticut history.
Those poor little girls.
And it fucked with everybody because it was home invasion. So it was just like your utopian life can be invaded by two criminals who are, you know,
it's almost like there's on one hand you have like a burglary, you're not home, someone comes in and steals your shit, but someone who's bold enough to do a home invasion robbery, that scares the shit out of me. The person who would be willing to do that
yes
is has no has no what?
Well, part of the enjoyment, at least they know for a fact that Joshua had, was the fear that he liked the fear he put into people. Mm-hmm. Because, and that he actually wrote a bunch of stuff about it in his diary that was on this thing that was just basically like, that's, he feels that scared and freaked out and wants to scream inside all the time.
Oh,
and so
shit.
It makes him feel better to see people torture like that. Which
when you're the one who's people are fear, then you're not.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's deep. It's dark. And yeah.
I'm staying home from now on for the rest of my life. But then what if there's a home invasion robbery?
Well, and also that's where all the fireworks are. So
home is where the fireworks are.
You know?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Elvis is hiding under the bed right now, so we can't end the show until he comes out.
My friend Sean, who asked me if I was going to do this, the one that's from Cheshire, Connecticut. Mm. So when he watched this documentary, he kept talking about how freaked out he was because it was his, he goes, that's my bank. I've been to that bank so many times.
Oh my God.
Like this was his hometown murder. And he was just like, he said, watching this documentary, it was
holy
just
shit.
Like, that's his town.
Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah.
Should we do a hometown murder real
yeah.
quick? Okay. Before we end, let's see. Let me find one. Tell me about your week.
Mm. No?
Oh, we're going to be at Comic-Con, except you're not.
Right.
I'm going to be at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Feral Audio is having a Comic-Con panel, so everyone should come to that on Thursday. Okay.
What's the date? Thursday what?
I don't know. It'll be on our Instagram.
Everyone
account.
Should come to that. Okay, bye.
I think it's the 17th?
No, it's, sorry, I'm jumping in. It's the 21st.
There you go. 21st. We're on it. It's Dan Harmon's panel. Okay, so this guy, Jason, sent us a hometown murder. I'm from a small town in Alabama, about 15 miles north of Birmingham called Gardendale. Sleepy suburb, not much going on. In 1994, I was in senior year of high school. I went to a local punk rock show put on by a DIY venue roughly 10 miles from town. Tiny community center that would put on local shows on Saturday and then would have a local church meeting on Sunday.
Oh.
Typical crowd of underage kids just trying to find something to do. There was a few local bands and a touring act, blah, blah, blah. Punk in the 1994, around 60 teens, small space. I remember during the show hearing murmurs about a kid walking around the show about him being crazy, and it wasn't until I saw it that I got freaked out. 2 years previous, a kid moved into town from a neighboring area. I met him because we rode the same bus. We hit it off as bus friends. In 94, Kenny and three of his friends were out drinking and driving around looking for something to do. They were driving up the interstate when they happened upon a hitchhiker, Vicky Lynn DeBlow, I think is DeBlue. They thought it'd be fun to pick her up and see what they could get into. Oh, dear. I don't want to read this. They had her fingers towards the end of what happened to her. They cut off her fingers.
And you're not going to do the middle part?
Nope. And the finger is what the boy was showing off at that DIY show. They said they murdered this girl. They took her teeth and DNA.
Fucking fuck. Come on.
They took her teeth and her fingers so she couldn't be identified. And this kid is showing it off at the show. At first, I thought it wasn't real, and then someone else told me it was probably dug up from a recent burial, which still freaked me out. It wasn't until a few days later did I find out that it actually was real. Seems he had been showing off the finger around town and bragging about it. Needless to say, the police quickly found out.
Oh,
all of the boys
God.
Were charged and convicted of murder. They all got the death penalty, but a few years later, three of the boys, who were 17 at the time, had their death sentences commuted to life. The fourth boy, who had just turned 18... No such luck for him, as far as I know. They're all still locked up.
Fuck.
For fuck's sake.
Was the middle part that they all raped her?
I think they just, like, killed her in a really brutal, fucked up way that I don't want to
share.
Can you imagine, like, what? So then why am I asking for hometown murders and reading them? Is that what
you're
saying?
No. I respect your, if you need to make the call on the editing that it's too much.
It just feels, this isn't this guy's fault. This is the story. I'm just saying, like, me reading it feels a little, like, egregious. It feels a little, like, indulgent. And, like, this poor girl who went through enough doesn't need to be indulged. Like, you can find it online. It doesn't need to be indulged in me, like, reading the gruesome details of her poor murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure. It's whatever you feel like doing.
I know. You know why?
Why?
This is our world.
All right, girl. This is our fucking firecracker world.
Elvis!
Oh, wow. Elvis doesn't want a cookie!
Cookie!
I bet he does.
There we are. All right. You guys, go to Instagram, My Favorite Murder. Twitter is My Fave Murder. We have our Facebook group, of course.
We're going to be at the LA Podfest in September. So come to that. There's tons of really good people that are going to be there. It's going to be really fun.
Thank you guys for listening. We really love this podcast and we appreciate that you guys listen. It's super awesome times.
And you know what? Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Elvis, want a cookie?
Want a cookie? Want a cookie?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.